welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show again Amy Trask, now with CBS Sports, doing a great job over there. Of course, CEO with the Raiders. And Amy is, for me, as someone who grew up with Raiders season tickets, and I'm in my 50s, and I hear the autumn wind. I still get a little chill down my spine. When you hear the autumn wind, does it get you?
Well, number one, I'm not going to share on air how old I am, so let's just leave that aside. And it certainly does bring back many, many, many memories of many, many, many game days that I spent with the team.
No doubt. Now, we recently lost Coach Madden, and we all have our stories, but, I mean, you knew him better than all of us. And just when I say John Madden, what's the first thing that pops into your head on a personal level?
Well, his love for the game. John was no longer the head coach when I joined the organization. But unlike many head coaches who finish their coaching career and then leave the organization and maintain no connection, John, of course, maintained a tremendous connection and remained a tremendous part of the Raider organization once he was done coaching. So, you know, I have many, many memories. I recognized at the time how fortunate I was to be able to sit in a room with John and Al and listen to them talk not only about football, but about the world, about life. And look, anyone who saw John on the sideline, on the television screen, knows that he loved the game of football. So, yes, he loved the Raiders. Yes, he loved the NFL. And he loved the game.
I always love the fact that when I talk to old Raiders or even present Raiders, they would talk about how Al Davis would know some story about them from high school. I mean, he knew everything about them. So when you worked there, did he know how many times you went to Top Dog when you were at Cal? Like, how did he know you?
No, actually, I will tell you something funny about that. I am a vegetarian. And I visited Top Dog with friends, but I did not eat Top Dog. And the only reason I reference that is, you know, I became a vegetarian in high school and was a vegetarian while I was with the Raiders. And Al was so considerate about that. And that surprises people when I tell them. And the only reason I'm raising it is because you raised Top Dog. And it put a smile on my face as I thought about the fact that whenever we would be somewhere eating and people were being served all sorts of meat, he always made a point of making sure there was something there for me to eat, and that touched me deeply.
No, it's very cool. We know that he took care of the people that he cared about. And you mentioned with Coach Madden staying part of the team, I know that Mark Davis would lean on him for counsel or advice as well. And I just think about John's calm approach. Do you know how much that John really did inject, you know, like maybe hiring Reggie McKenzie or what the head coaching situation was? How much did Mark talk to John about stuff like that?
Well, I don't ever speak for others because it drives me crazy when people purport to speak for me. Mm-hmm. So I will simply let you know that if they did speak, and Mark was very open about that and very direct about that. But as to what sort of an influence that had on Mark's decision making, I would leave that to him to say, simply because it's not my place to say. But you are absolutely right. John was a trusted advisor for a lot of people for a lot of years, and maintained that connectivity with the organization and with Al.
You know, I was thinking too, like when you were at Cal, the Raiders were still in Oakland, and then when you went to USC and when you went to a law school down there, Gould, then the Raiders moved to LA and they went back to Oakland as well. So you know their California roots inside and out. What do you think about them being in Vegas? Obviously, it's a huge hit with the league, and they're going to have Super Bowls there, and the visiting teams love to come in. But what do you think about the new era of Raider football?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts, and they're not mutually exclusive. Often people say, well, Amy, you can't think both of those things. And of course I can. You can have two different thoughts that are not mutually exclusive. For the fans who are following the team to Vegas, and I don't mean moving permanently, but the fans who are traveling to Vegas and enjoying the move and enjoying the new stadium, I'm thrilled for them. For the fans whose hearts are broken, I'm heartbroken for them. And it is possible for me to both be happy for the fans that are thrilled with the move and heartbroken for the fans who are not happy with the move. As to the stadium itself, I mean, it is a magnificent, magnificent stadium. That's clear. But you just raised a point about visiting team fans traveling, and you're absolutely right. And this is something I said going in when the team announced it was moving to Vegas. If you are a fan of a team playing the Raiders on the road, and you can go to only one road game to root for your team in any given season, well, Vegas, here we come. I mean, we all saw that. Well, maybe you didn't see it because I have that kind of taste in movies. You may not, but I saw Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase. And, you know, so what I said at the time is the Raiders are going to have to be prepared for a paradigm shift, which is in Oakland, as you well know, that stadium was, you know, 95% or more full of Raider fans. In Las Vegas, I said, even before the move, but when it was announced, they're going to have to be prepared for a lot more fans of the visiting team, and we are seeing that play out. Now, that said, this coming weekend, when it's Raiders-Chargers for a playoff spot, I imagine it'll be full of Raider fans.
And that's all we can ask for, is that something to play for on the final week, and when they were at 6-7, it certainly didn't look like they would run off three straight wins, so that's pretty cool. Amy, when the success that you've had, obviously you're ambitious and you were very successful, but a lot of people, you know, they find themselves in a situation where they're, you know, as trailblazers, or as I called you on Twitter, a pioneer, and then you become a role model. What was that like for you when you became someone to which young women would aspire?
That's something that never occurred to me. It wasn't something to which I gave any thought. I never had particular ambition. I never had a plan. Someone once said to me during my career, someone I trust entirely, said, Amy, you need to have a 5-year plan. And I looked at this person and said, I don't need a plan. I don't want a plan. I've never had a plan. And by the way, that whole 5-year plan thing, that didn't work out so well for the Russians. But that said, you know, if I can inspire anyone, if we can all inspire one another, if we can all help one another be the best we can be, well, isn't that what we should all do? I really do believe in the adage, it takes a village. I've never had one mentor, a single mentor. I have learned from everyone from whom I've had the opportunity to learn. And I think it's terrific if we can all help one another learn and be better. And if I can do that for someone, girl, boy, man, woman, well, I think that's a wonderful thing.
In your day-to-day life, what things do you still hear Al telling you? What are some of the adages or little pieces of advice that he gave you that you still hear in your head?
There are so many, and most of them, I would say, like maybe all of them, I can't repeat on air because you would get in so much trouble with the FCC or whomever is regulating you. Mm-hmm. I hear his advice all the time. And he shared advice, you know, given everything going on in the world right now, in the country right now, I miss him so much because so many of the conversations I had with him, he shared his knowledge of world history and world affairs. And there have been so many times, given everything going on, as I said, in the country, in the world, in this recent past, I've just wished that I could talk about that with him. I'm trying to think of any particular nugget I could share on air, but they were all very, very colorful. So I don't think that I can say them on air without getting you in trouble.
Very well. We just have about a minute left. And over the last couple of years, I've had the commish, all the coaches, and Ice Cube on to talk about the Big Three, which has been a huge hit. And you've had an involvement and you've been part of that success, too. How fun has that been?
It's been a lot of fun, and I know we're pressed for time, so I will simply say this. Working with a startup entity with men like Ice Cube and Jeff Quantinitz and Clyde Drexler is a blast, and boy, oh boy, it's different to be part of a startup than part of an age-old established organization. When we want to make a business decision, we can make it very quickly. We don't have to go through committees.
And just finally, how much do you still live and die with Raiders wins and losses? Like if they lose to the Chargers on Sunday night, are you going to break things in your house?
Oh, no. And I never broke things anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I bled with losses. I cried with losses the night we lost the Super Bowl. to the Buccaneers. Yeah. I cried myself to sleep, but I've never broken things. And look, now in my current career, I have to follow all 32 teams and know what's going on in all regards. So, of course, I keep my largest or my biggest piece of my eye on the Raiders, but it is very, very different no longer being part of the organization.
The iconic Amy Trask. Amy, can't thank you enough. Great to talk to you again.
Oh, and, my treat.
Let's catch up soon.
I hope so.
All right. Good stuff from Amy Trask, now with CBS Sports, and she's doing a great job over there.